They mentioned the Linig that starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul by the Sfardim, or starting the few days before Rosh Hashanah by the Ashkenaz, we have a Linig that we recite Slichas. It says that the Linig is to recite Slichas in the middle of the night, after Chatzos or in Ashmoras HaBoker. I saw in the name of the Netziv, they have a collection of drushes from the Netziv that they just printed a few years ago. So he explained what is the Linig based on that you say Dafke Slichas in the middle of the night. In some shuls they say Slichas, they daven Shachas, whatever, at 7 o'clock. They say Slichas at 6:30 in the morning. So then it seems to assume that that's not the correct minute. Because the minute really is that you're supposed to say either after Chatzoy or the Ashmoras HaBoker. What is it based on? So he says it's based on the Pasuk in Megillah Zecho. It says, Kumi Roni Balayla the Rosh Hashmoras, and Taka Disinyan of saying Slichas, the Hashmoras, only started after the Churban HaBayis. The Megillah Seicho, it was written at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash and deals with things that have to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. His mantra Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim, when a person wanted to daven Taka on his Baruch Hu, and he wanted to enhance the davening, so the Gemara seems to say that he would go into the Beis HaMikdash and bring a korban, and that would somehow enhance the tefillah. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Tainis that Choni Amago lived in the times of the Bayis, and when he needed rain, when he was mispal for rain, so it says he went into the Beis HaMikdash, he brought a korban, and he went out, and he was mispal. So what was the korban for? The korban was in order to enhance the tefillah. After the korban HaBayis, when he can't bring any more korbanos, so what can we possibly do to enhance the tefillah? So that's what the Pasuk says. Kumri Roni Balayla Rosh Hashmoras. Why? Because the Gemara tells us, there's a Gemara in the first Perek in Chagiga, where the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says that there's a contradiction between two Pasukim. One Pasuk says, Hoy Bahadol Afon Avoyz Vecher Vavim Kona, that in the presence of the Baruch Hu, everything is just wonderful, cheerful, Leder Bekreilach, there's no Atzus. Ein Atzus, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Lashon HaGemara. There's no sadness in the presence of the Shekhinah, because Hoy Bahadol Afon Avoyz Vecher Vavim Kona, only rejoicing. The other Pasuk says, in the Torah, Titkin Afshi, the Navi describes the Baruch Hu, that he himself is crying, so what's the terror? And to the Gemara, Kamibati Gavoy, Kamibati Baroy. In the inner chambers is one way, and the outer chambers is Fakir. Which is which? Which is in the inner chambers? Which is in the outer chambers? So the people that don't look in the Gemara usually say Pshat Fakir. They usually say the wrong way. They say, really, in the inner chambers, the Baruch Hu is always Levitic Prayer. He's always happy. In the outer chambers, sometimes there is a little Bechir. Sometimes there is cry. So the Rabbi Simcha points out that if you look in the Gemara, there's the Feirish Fakir. The Gemara says Fakir, the Nistarim Titkin Apshin. Nistar means in the hidden chambers, in the private chambers where no one is watching. And he says the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is Fakir. That you look in the world and you see that there's a problem of evil, you see Tzadik Merala Rosh Hashanah, as if it doesn't bother the Baruch Shalom, he just sings along, he runs his world, and like nothing bothers him. Doesn't bother him, Tzadik Merala, Rosh Hashanah, the sickness and sadness and poverty and everything, and nothing bothers him. The other passage states that he is bothered in the Tzadik Tzidkin Avshin. So the Baruch Shalom is heartbroken and he's crying all the time about the terrible things that are happening in the world. So what is it? So the Gemara says, the Bati Gavoy, inside where nobody sees, the Baruch Shalom is heartbroken. He's very sad about it. The Bati Baroy, the impression is, the outside impression is, as if nothing bothers him, as if the Oilam Kimin Hogeloi, and it doesn't bother him. But the truth of the matter is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears every day. The Gemara says, the Baruch Shalom sheds 3 tears every day about the terrible tragedies that are occurring in the world. Then the Gemara says, Takashi, and you mean that the Baruch Shalom never let anybody realize that he's unhappy about the way his little world is running. I we have a pasuk in Novi that says that at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, there were outward simonim, there were outward signs that everyone in the world could realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam was heartbroken and was sad. Mar says, no, Churban Bayis Hamikdash Shaini, that was like the tragedy of tragedies. The whole Taklus Abriya, the whole purpose of creating the world was in order that there should be a Beit Hamikdash. At the time of the Churban Bayis Hamikdash, there were outward signs, it was clear and obvious to everybody, due to certain things, that the Ribbono Shel Olam was upset. So we have the Gemara in the beginning of Brachos, the Gimel of Agdal at the very beginning of Brachos, where the Gemara says that the Ribbono Shel Olam cries every night after the Churban Beis HaMikdash over the fact, what did I do? Why did I destroy my Beis Hamikdash? And why did I send my children into Golus? So the Gemara says in Chagig, the Baruch Shalom cries every day. There are a lot of tragedies in the world. Sickness, poverty, v'chule, v'chule. So the Baruch Shalom cries every day. But he doesn't cry at night. Cry at night means that it bothers him so much, so to speak, kivayachal, he can't sleep. Baruch Shalom doesn't sleep anyway. In the Yad HaVolishan, he doesn't sleep anyway. But the Lashon HaGemara l'cher, that he cries at night means that he's so bothered, he can't sleep at night. So the thing that keeps him awake, that he can't sleep at night, that's when he's crying about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and about Al-Sheh HaKrafi as Beisiv, Al-Sheh HaGlesi as Barnai Ben Haluma. He cries at night, it bothers him, he cries at night why he destroyed the, why he had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, why he had to send the children into Golus. So that's what the Pasuk is alluding to. In Eicha, the Pasuk in Eicha speaks about the Churban Beis HaMikdash and what follows after the Churban. So the Pasuk says, Kumi Rani Balaila, if you want to enhance your davening, so you no longer have the opportunity to bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, like the other people did. You bring a carbon and this enhances the tefillah somehow. So you, that rarely you don't have. So an Eitzah is, cry along with the Rebbe Shlomo and he's crying. The Rebbe Shlomo, Kumri Rani Balaila Rosh Hashmo, Shivchi Kamayim Libech Noichach Tanei Hashem, cry along with the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is crying at night over the thing that bothers him most, or the thing that disturbs him more than everything else. That's why he cries at night. He tosses and turns to Vayachal, he can't sleep at night. So if you want something, if there's something very serious that you want to daven about, if you want to enhance your davening, cry along with the Shekhinah when he's crying, the Hainu in the middle of the night. So that's why we have the minig that we say the Shekhinah is davke by night. Not that you have to face an 8 o'clock minion in the morning, so you say Shekhinah at 7:30 in the morning. That's not, you can't sleep at night. You get up at 7:30 in the morning, everybody's up at 7:30. The goyim are also up at 7:30 in the morning. That's not called. Taka has to, a person's supposed to put himself out of the way a little bit. The daven taka sleep is either after Hatzai. I think Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned many years ago that the earliest source that he found that there was such a practice to say slichas at night, that Hatzai, that he mentioned was in the Miri in the Chibur HaTshuva. The big sad sefer by the Miri, all about Tshuva. But he said that the Miri has it there. He doesn't have the chiluk. The Miri doesn't mention that the first night you say after Chatzai, and the other night you say in the morning. That was in Europe, because he only had the chazan with the choir the first night. So that's why the people wouldn't come to shul at 5 o'clock in the morning. So at 12 o'clock at night, they'll come. But that was already in recent years in Europe they started that. That they only had slichas at Chatzai Talayla the first night, and the rest of the night the slichas they didn't. But the Miri records such a thing that every night they said slichas at midnight after Chatzai Talayla. And in Shulchan Aruch they have the minhag to say Kodim Sheyoyer Hayom before Alois HaShachar, early, to demonstrate that it bothers the person so much over the fact that he's a Bala Veira. This is such a tzara that aggravates, supposed to aggravate us, supposed to be bothering us, that we should cry along with the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he should help us, just like he has his problems that bother him. He can't sleep at night about the Churban Beis HaMikdash and about the Golus on his children, so we're supposed to cry at night.
Not that the sleep is supposed to lead you to the doctor. So you say
that
night you go to sleep, how does it
feel to be in the davening? I don't know, it's supposed to be the hakdamah to the tefillah. I noticed some achrayim say that our practices that we say hash to skabal after slichas, that's everybody's meaning. So they say that's only by medvar mamurim that you say kaddish to skabal if you're not going to daven shacharis right away. But if you're going to right away start saying the bracha, so what are they saying Kaddish Tiskabel for? It doesn't make any sense, they say. Maybe Kaddish Tiskabel after all night, right? Right, that's the Rav Soloveitchik say, but I say some achrayim say the dafke like this, that the minig was that they didn't say slichas immediately before shachar. They used to say slichas grace 4:30 in the morning, then they would finish at base 5:15 or 5:30. Then it was too early to daven shachar, so they sit around and learn, and there wasn't any place. Then it was daven late. And it's still in the Shulchan Aruch, they seem to assume that this is the introduction. This is the introduction to all the tefillos hayom. Even though it's not...
Reiterated about Halayla, several times mentioned night, like, wouldn't that then be to say facts left over.
Shemar Sabaikir is also nine. It's also a few hours.
No,
Ashmarit. Ashmar says you divide the night into three Ashmarit, either two or three. So let's say if you divide the night into three Ashmarit, each Ashmarit is 4 hours. Ashmar Sabaikir is 4 hours before sunrise. So that's when they would say Smith, 4 hours before sunrise. Yeah, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. So some people would go back to sleep, some people wouldn't go back to sleep, but they wouldn't be davening shacharis right after that. And there is Rosh Hashanah, we have a very old minhag that we're matan neder, make hatoras and dorim. Based on a Gemara in the Dorim, that the Gemara says, leika minish berei shato, a person should get up on Rosh Hashanah, berei shato, and he should make a declaration, Allah habo, that any neder I'll take in the following year should be null and void. So what's the whole idea of declaring that? It's hard enough to keep the Taryag Mitzvah Tatar. We're not really up to par. We don't really keep all the mitzvahs that we were pleased to. So what we have to, that's the lashon that the Yerushalmi has, that Hanoi there, Hilu Bona Boma, a person takes a neder, it's a chash from Baltaisis. What does he need it for? So the Yerushalmi has the lashon, like Dayechama Shaotra Lecha Torah. Nishgenuk, what the Torah gave you to observe. And therefore it says, until what you have to accept addition on the dirt. So that's why on Erev Rosh Hashanah we try to make at least partially clear the slate, at least get rid of the Nedarim. So if we can get rid of some of the other mitzvahs, we would maybe try to do that. Although we can't, the 613 mitzvahs we're stuck with, whether we like it, Lashon Hara. We can't, there's no way to get rid of that. But we got to be careful not to talk Lashon Hara. We got to be careful not to be Mechal Shabbos, not to violate all the Din HaTorah. The Nedarim you can get rid of, to be Matan Neder and Vershan Tata from the Nedarim. So that you won't be in violation of. The Gemara says, Leike Minish Berei Shato. The Gemara is speaking a little different. The Gemara is not talking about Hataras and Dorim, but about a Mesiris Meidor Allah Habo. So that's what we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're Matan Neder V'Sho'ovar, and we make a declaration. Any Nedarim that I'll take during the course of the year should not be valid. And that helps to a certain extent. There are different opinions to what extent it helps, so that's what we don't rely on. There are contradictory opinions between Taisus and Ramam to what extent is the Mesiris Meidor work. We don't rely on that, but that's what we do. So the minhag usually was in all the shuls and all the yeshivas that everybody wants to be matan neder, so out of respect for the rabbonim, so usually they don't keep everybody make a bezin to be matan neder, his neder, it takes a long time when you're matan neder. So many places they have the practice that the mechaber, the rabbi, the matan his neder right away, and the rabbi can go, he's free. Or the Rosh Hashiva can go easy, and then the Talmidim or the Balabatim, they stay on in Shul a little later, and then the Matav each other's in Dor. So Rabbi Peter Frank writes in his Bikutim, in his Sefer on Yom Naroyim, that one of the great, the practice used to be for a long time, for quite a few years, that big Rabbonim in Europe, when they retired from the Rabbonim, would go to Eretz Yisrael, and they live in Yerushalayim. Many great Goyinim like that. There was one of the great Goyinim, was a Rav in Lublin, Rav Shneur Zalman from Lublin. So he retired and he came to Eretz Yisrael. He became a big, he's a big diner, big Meirai Roh and the Badat, made Acharegis. It was before Hakamas Amdina. He died way before. And he wrote the Tshuva Torah Tessa, a very beautiful Tshuva Svarim, two Svarim. So Tzvi Pesach Frank knew him. So he writes that he had Midas Chassidus that he, Badatki, didn't want to be the first one. Why? Because the Gemara says Masechah Shavuos in the first parak, I think, that why is it that on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol says Vidui three times? So the first time he says Vidui, it says V'chipa Bada Diad Beisu. He says Vidui for himself and for his family. The second time he says Badecha Bat Kohanim, and the third time Riyad Kol Kahal Yisrael. So why does he first say Vidui for himself and afterwards for the Kahal Yisrael? Why not out of Kovet HaTzibur ask for forgiveness for the Averis of Kahal Yisrael first? So the Gemara uses the lashon Yavoi Zakai Yechaper Alakai. First, let him ask for forgiveness for his own averus, let him be forgiven, and then he'll have a clean slate. So then he's a Zakai. So then he can ask for forgiveness. He can bring atonement. He can bring kapara. He can affect the kapara for the kalto. But if he didn't ask for forgiveness for his own averus, he's still guilty. He's still a chayav. So it doesn't make sense. He's going to affect the atonement for the kalto, and he's still in the state of being guilty. He's still chayav. So that's the Loshen Agamah. So that's what the Goyen, Rav Shneur Zalman from Lublin, the Taras Chesed, had such a feeling. Not a din, he had such a hagosha. That it doesn't really make sense that he should ask the Balabatim who still have Nedarim over their head. They weren't Matan Neder yet. So they should be Matan his Neder, he's going to leave the shul. That's like Yobai Chayiv, the Yizakeh, the Chaper HaMachayiv. They are still guilty of, they still have these Nazarim that are binding them, and maybe they're in violation of these Nazarim. Wouldn't it be better that they should first absolve the Nazarim? We should first be mata the Balabativ Nazarim, and then you have Zakoyim. But then it makes sense, let them be mata my neta later on. There's Zakoyim, Yob and Zakai. The Yechaper Allah Chayim later on. That was his Harkosh.
You want the Chochum to be mata neta? Does that mean that the Chochum is not allowed to have any Nazarim?
No.
But
I'm here, Rosh Hashanah, the whole idea of being matan neder is in order to make a clean slate, in order to get rid of. But that's the whole idea of being matan neder is that we want to become a zakai. Whatever we can chop off, whatever we can get rid of a burden, so we get rid of that. So in a certain sense, we feel we're acting on Erev Rosh Hashanah is if anyone has a neder, is a shtikl chayim. It's a shtikl chayim. We want to get rid of it to be a zakai. Many years ago, when they printed the Luach in Eretz Yisrael, the Azeris, Rabbi Eliyahu David Rabinovich Stone, that was the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. He was a big Rav, he was a Rav in Ponevich, he was a Rav in Nir, and then later on, he was appointed to be the Rav in Yerushalayim. So this Azeris, his daughter married Rav Kook. And then they were married for a few years, they had no children, she passed away, then he had to marry another wife, and he had two children from the second wife. He was a great guy. So in the Luach of Eretz Yisrael, they quote a lot of his minhagim, a lot of his tzedakah, that is, that many of them have been accepted by many rabbonim. The disciples have also followed a lot of the minhagim of the Azeres, the Rav Kook, Hasheka followed him, the son of many other people, many other girls have followed a lot. So one of the things that he pointed out is that in our nusach that we have is standard nusach that it says in the siddur, Shimon HaRabbis HaDayoni Mumchim. What's for HaDayoni Mumchim? The Gemara says there are two ways to make Hatars and Zorim. Either with a Yochid Mumche, if you have one Talmud Chacham who is a Mumche, you don't need a Desnas Mi. Or if you don't have a Mumche, then you need Shloisha HaDayoni. So we have three. Obviously we assume that there is no such thing as Mana as Yochid Mumche. Some Rishonim are the Rav of the Zohar Kol. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that Yochid Mumche has to have smicha, real bona fide smicha. So we don't have smicha this man as there. Smicha has to be Yish Mepish, had Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael. We have it broken. Mishal Shalos HaSmicha has been broken. So we don't have any Mumche. According to the other opinion in the Rishonim, we don't need smicha, but it has to be one of the unusual, outstanding Talmid HaChachamim of the generation. And we're afraid we don't have it. So we don't have such a thing. So we're Mata Neder Yechidi because we treat somebody like a Yochid Mumche. We're always matanet based on the concept we have shloisha hadyaitis. The shloisha hadyaitis, the Gemara says, has to be, can't just be an amharis. The Gemara says it has to be an intelligent person. Even if he doesn't know Hilchas Nadarim, it has to be intelligent enough. The mizbur ulei mizbar. If you'll explain it to him, that's a pashtein, what the dinim are. But let's say it's an old person who's already half senile and he doesn't fully understand the chalal what's going on. And if you'll explain it to him, he won't be able to understand. Then the Gemara says it's no good. You can't just take three religious balabatma. It has to be a person who is alert enough and intelligent enough that if you've explained to him, he'll understand.
Huh?
Has to be an intelligent hedyuk. That's right. Has to be an intelligent. So that's what the Aderis Tainan, and he quoted this in the Luach of Eretz Yisrael, that it doesn't make sense to nusach that we say Shimon HaRabbanim. Shimon HaRabbanim, that's fine. But then Dayanim Mumchim. What's our Mumchim? So many Gdanim left out the word Mumchim. Many also left out. Six hits of Shulchan Aruch and others before they quote already the time. It says, any neder that I took, I feel in the zero shimshin, I yes for HaTorah. Many times that the Gemara Makkos, another place, it says the Ferish, that there is no HaTorah on the zero shimshin. So what do you mean that we're asking for HaTorah, I feel in the zero shimshin? That's impossible. The Halacha says that you cannot be mat in the zero shimshin. So some Farenfer, that the Minatorah, there is HaTorah in the zero shimshin, it's only a woman with the Rabbanim. No. So with the Rabbanim, there's no HaTorah in the zero shimshin. What are you asking for HaTorah? We want to be matur on the level of the right. Are you talking? You can't do that. Many hold that you should leave out that nusach. They're not sure exactly who composed this nusach. There are other tainus. There are quite a few tainus they have against the nusach. Right. They put it in parentheses because somebody started to have tainus against it. So that's why they put the Nazir Shimshin into parentheses. In Shulchan Aruch it says that the minhag is that when you matur neder, say three times mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. What is that all about? So there's only going. And the Birach brought there in Yeridaya points out that the Mishnah says at the end of the first parak in Chagiga that Hatarzim Zarm is really Torah Shabbat. The Mishnah says Hatarzim Zarm Hetzim and Dorn, Elohim is Torchim Boavir, Elohim Amesha Yitzmoku. It's purely Halacha Moshe Messina, and there's no Mokam and Chumash at all. The Gemara in the end of the first verse in Chagigah quotes Tanoim and Amoroim who disagree with the Mishnah is Takanat Torah Shevitzav HaForeh. If a woman takes a neder to the husband or the father has the right sometimes to be mater, he says, Mufalof, that's in the Chumash. But that you can go to a bezin is not a neder, that doesn't say the Ferish and the Torah Shevitzav. So the Tan in the Mishnah holds that this is pure Halacha Moshe Messinai, Elohim HaMeshi Yitzmoku, there's no way to darshan it from the Sukkot. And many Tanaim and Amoraim in the Gemara, the Gemara has six or seven drushes, they disagree a little bit with the Mishnah. They all said it's Torah about Peh, but it's a drusha. Who ain't a mechel, but okay, mechel and haflo, two times many different animars. The Yapi, each Tana has a different drusha, but they're also masking that it's Torah about Peh. It's also not Torah, it's not Torah about Peh, tell me Torah about Peh. So we know that the Karoim didn't accept the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Karoim never believed in Hataras and Dor. Not only did they reject Halachas and Moshe Messina, they didn't follow the Torah Shabbat Peh that's based on Rosh Hashanah. So we have in the Mishnayot in different places that only Gaon quotes that the Tzedukim during the days of the Beis HaMikdash always did when they were in charge. They were years that they were running the Beis HaMikdash, they were running some heavy devil. They had Reform rabbis, they had Tzedukim that didn't believe in Torah and Hashemai. They were running the Sanhedrin diamonds, running the Beis HaMikdash. It's worse than it was today. So that was Bizman Baishani. So the Mishnah says that many times when they were running the show, they would do Tiras Daimel was always on a Matzoi Shabbos, and Havar Daimel was always on Sunday and Shavuot was always on Sunday, a long weekend. It's always a long weekend. The first Matzoi Shabbos. That came Pesach time after Pesach began, that was Ksira Simon. And the Chachamim said, we have a tradition in Machat HaShabbos means Thursday Chol Hamoed, Pesach. Right. Shabbos means Pesach, Yom Tov Pesach, Machat HaShabbos means Thursday Chol Hamoed, you do Ksira Simon. And so Yom Tov and Akrabah Simon is on the Thursday Chol Hamoed. Sometimes it will be Matzoi Shabbos, and six out of seven times it won't be Matzoi Shabbos. It will be the other days of the week. And even if Pesach falls out on Friday, and the first day Chol Hamoed is on Shabbos, the Ksira Simon is Decha Shabbos. So the Mishnah says that in order to be Mechazen Givis, most of the time the Chachamim were running the Sanhedrin, and the Chachamim were running the Avodas HaKarbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. So in order to be Mechazen, the tradition that's what it means, Machat HaShabbos, every time they would do Ksira Simon, whether B'chol or B'Shabbos, it didn't make a difference. They would make a public announcement, everybody from the neighboring community should come, and everybody should be present, and they would stress that they're doing Ksiras Omer, and if it would be Shabbos, they would say, and everything they did, they would say three times, Magalzeh, Shabbos, Shabbos, I'm sure I should do it, and so on. But the Vilna Gaon says the same apparently over here, that this is all based on Torah Shabbat, they have Torah and Torah. So we want to emphasize that this is all legitimate and above board, we didn't make it up in the 20th century, our Torah Shabbat is as old as Maimon HaSinai. It's either Halacha Moshe Messinai or it's a drasha from the Pasuk. But to be mechazek, the fact that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh, so we say three times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. So the Torah Tmima writes in one place, I saw it, I think, in his autobiography. He has he'oris on different things that he holds on the stake. So he writes in one place, our practice is that we say nine times. We say three times the Nusach that it says in this video, and the Nusach that it says it three times. It says, HaKol Mum Chulam Mecha, HaKol Shurim Mecha, HaKol Mum Torah Mecha. It says it only three times. And then it says, the sentence says that three times. It says nine times. What do you have to say nine times? The Pashto says, you say three times. It doesn't make, either you say the Nusach one, or you say three times. HaKol Mum Torah Mecha, HaKol Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. You say three times. But to say nine times really does make sense. One of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, a few years ago, they sent out a Kiddush Levanos, a fundraising, and they sent out a Megillat Esther. So one of the yeshivas sent out, that it's a new Hashinah they sent out. So one of the yeshivas sent out a Hataras Nadarim to Erev Rosh Hashanah. And they corrected the Nusach, they left out the Nazir Shimshin, and they left out the Mumchim. And they wrote, you only say once. It doesn't make sense to say three times. The Nusach that's printed three times, you don't have to say nine times. They corrected that too, that you only say three times in God. The Gemara has a machloikis in the Zorim and in the Neiris in different places. The Gemara has regarding Hataras and Dorim. How are you matanet? How does it work? So So sometimes I'm of the opinion that you can only be matan neder ayde Pesach. Pesach makes the neder into a neder toy. The person says, in all honesty, if I would have realized at the time that I took the neder how it's going to turn out, and someone would have pointed out to me, hey, what are you doing? You're going to get into big trouble, places, whatever. You're going to starve, or you take the neder and not to eat this food, that food, the other food. You're going to starve, or places, whatever. So if I would have realized what's involved, I would have not taken the neder. So if it's really true that he would have not taken the neder, then the Bezin says, we declare it as a neder, the toys, and they say, mutalach, 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 and the taker, a neder, neikar. That's one kind of hatorah. Then the Gemara says, there's another hatorah that's based on charata. Charata does, that the Ran explains, it does mean charata mikan al habo, that until now it was working well. The last 10 years of neder was good, but now I got a different position, I just got married, I just got divorced, whatever. Something changed in his life. So mikan v'ela, this neder is causing problems for him. What's a charata now? So the Ran says, charata mikan al habo, that's no reason to be matan neder, that's not a basis. That's not charata the meikar, he has to have charata that he ever took the neder. How can he have charata the meikar? So the Ravid explains in his commentary on the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, very often people take a neder if they're very excited, very happy, marries off his grandchildren. If they take the neder, he's going to give $100,000 to the Yeshiva's old friends. Then he comes down, he doesn't have so much money, but what is he giving? What are we pledged to give so much money for? Or let's say he's very angry, a person is very angry, he takes the neder, you're not going to go to that chasen, he's not going to dive into that shul or something. Then he comes down later on, where did he go? A person is very depressed and very sad, things are going bad, he takes the neder to some. Then later on he has charata, why he was in such a mood. He would have been in a state of equilibrium, he would have not taken such a neder. He has charata over the excitement, over the being too happy, over being sad, over being angry. That's how you have a charata to make sense. So the Gemara has a machlekes satanai where the toysim macharata, or a toysim macharata. So the Pashup Shat is one, some tanai, half of the tanai are of the opinion, can only be matan neder ayde Pesach. The person says, if I would have realized at the time, someone would have told me at the time of the neder, look, you're going to get yourself into trouble, big trouble, then I wouldn't have taken the neder. So if it's really true, what he says. And the person says, mutalach, so that they declare the neder as a neder b'tor. But because he asked charata why he was in an angry mood or a sad mood, or such a funny mood, such a flimsy, a happy mood, so that's not ground for hatar. The other tana.
Why isn't this a Pesach? The charut is also Pesach. Because had you known that it was going to be in such a state for such time, you would have never done it. So the thoughts of Pesach.
Meaning, if you would have known it's going to have charut,
right?
We'll get to that in a minute. Right. That's how it says the Shulchan Aruch. So that's the machlekes satanoim. Do you say you can be matan neder ayde charata or not? So we pass the halacha that poitzchim the charata. There's a machlekes rishayim how to translate the word poitzchim. What is the word poitzchim? So some rishayim hold poitzchim means can you crack open a neder l'stoyach es haneder? Means can you crack open a neder only with Pesach? Or can you even break a neder open with charata? Other rishayim say no, avadi you can break a neder. There's legitimate two ways to be matan neder. The two roots, either Pesach or Charata. The Machlokes HaTanaim is it Mutar L'Chatchila L'Shtoyach L'Charata. They say L'Chatchila, you have to be trying to make a Pesach. And if it's the Gatenish, if you're trying, you can't work out any Pesach, there's no way to make a Cheshman why it was a Neder B'Torah is based on a Pesach. So B'lai Zber, everybody would agree that you can be Matar Neder B'Charata. If it's B'Riyev and if it's B'Shat HaTzah. So there are two ways to understand whether we pass on Allah a poskim maharata. Poskim maharata means that you can be matan neder maharata. But because some rishonim say poskim maharata, there never was a machlekes regarding. Everybody holds maharata is good. Machlekes only is, are you allowed to use it l'chatchila or is it only as a second, as a last resort? Ein poskim maharata means you shouldn't use it l'chatchila, but for the evdika. Point to the other Rishonim, the Gemara never discussed L'chatchila b'neder. The Gemara just discussed, is it a legitimate method of cracking open a neder? Can you break a neder with charata or not? So according to those Rishonim, the Gemara is discussing, can you bring matan neder ayde charata? What's with the other Shaila? Is it mutar l'chatchila to use charata? Maybe takana. So that's why the Rambam says, our minig is that we try to avoid being matan neder ayde charata. What if you don't have any charata? What if you don't have any Pesach? The Ramah says that our minig is that we make a Pesach out of the charata. That if the person was very happy, very sad, very angry, whatever, then later on he has charata. And now you tell him, think carefully. If you would have realized when you took the neder that you're going to change your mind, You're not going to be depressed forever. You're not going to be happy forever. You're not going to be angry forever. If you would have realized that that mood is going to go away, just going to last for a few days or a few weeks. Tell me the truth. Would you have still taken the neder or not? If the person thinks and he says no, so then you've made a pesach out of the charot. The Ramah says that that's the meaning that we do. When we are matan neder, we try to avoid, even though the Gemara fastens halacha l'maaseh, it's pesach from a charot. Maybe matan neder is a charot. But we try to avoid it, l'chatzila. And we try, l'chatzila, to make a pesach, or at least to make a pesach out of the charot. So in the Shulchan Aruch it would appear, by medvar mamurim, when do we attempt to do that? That's only if the person really took a neder, or a shvua, a bona fide neder. What if he only has a minik toik? If a person started a minik toik, the person gives ma'aseh tzofen. So there are different opinions whether ma'aseh tzofen is a real din d'oraisa, or it's a real din d'rabbanan, or it's a midas chasidus. And many pasim hold that it's not a din d'oraisa, it's not a din d'rabbanan, it's a midas chasidus. But it's recommended. It's a beautiful midas chasidus. Most people can well afford ma'aseh tzofen. In America, most people can afford to give ma'aseh tzofen and more plus more. It's a proper, it's a midas chasidus. But the pasim say that the first time the person gives ma'aseh tzofen, Meir Arik writes like this in his Chuvi, quotes others and say like that, the person should say Beli Neder, so it won't be binding in case one year he doesn't make out well in Parnassus, so he shouldn't feel that he always has to give. L'chatchil, he should give all the time, but he should say Beli Neder the first time, so it doesn't become obligatory. So when you have, let's say people have a minute, let that person goes to Daf Yomi. But he goes 3 days in a row, and he doesn't think one way or the other whether he wants to continue to keep up with it. Or he goes once, and he plans, he has in his mind that he's going to do this steady. He's going to go every day to learn that thing. So if you do a minik toif once, and you have in mind that you want to accept his liyam of what, or you do a minik toif 3 times in a row, and you don't have in mind anything, a blank. So then, machshav and keret mitach ma'isav, that it looks like he wants to do it liyam of what. So that's binding, the Gemara says, that's how we pass from Shulchan Aruch, that a minik toif is binding mitam neder. Neder abonah. Now, when I tell you, the Gemara says minik toif, because he never said haleni neider, that's only binding neder abonah mitam neder. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that in such a case, you don't have to try to make a pesach. Then you just have a charot. The person just has charot. But they say he shouldn't say, I have charot if in the minik toif. That's toy ala rishayna. But that person did mitzvahs. And Cheskal Navi says he did mitzvahs, and then he's toy ala rishayna. He has charata that he did mitzvahs. So just like if a person does averis, and he has charata that he did the averis, so the averis are rundown. That's what we call tshuva. So to the Navi Cheskal says if a person does mitzvahs, and he's toy ala rishayna, so he's doing, he's a chayza b'sheila, they call it in Eretz Yisrael. He's a chayza b'tshuva, there's a chayza b'sheila. There's a lot of questions there. So he did mitzvahs all of his life. Then before he dies, he has charata why he did all those mitzvahs. So all the mitzvahs are run down. So the person was observing a mitzvah chassidus, and then he's going to have charata. He says, I have charata why he did that. It's like, doesn't it? So he's supposed to say, like it says in the mitzvah, I don't have charata from the minik toiv that I observed. I have charata why I didn't say b'li neder. That's what you have to say. But the Shulchan Aruch says, when you make the hataras and dorm for a minik toiv, you don't even have to try to attempt to make a pesach. That's only when you have a real bona fide neder, a real neder, a neder deraisa, a real neder derabbanan. This is not even a real, this is a minig is binding mitam neder, a din derabbanan, that minig is binding mitam neder. So it's like by minhagim, when we're not in minhagim, shonot and mekel, that you don't even have to try l'chatzila to make a pesach. Harata is sufficient.
Can you say it's word for the neder, or can you have in mind for the neder?
Having a mind is also sufficient, but it's preferable to say the pet. But Nikar Adin, having a mind is also good enough. Sure. Yeah. Men and women can have hataras and dar. The pasuk says, "Neidar mana gusha yokam aleha." Means that there's no hafara, but there is hatara. Just like a man has hatara, a woman also has hatara. Yeah.
What about the husband
and the tail? The meaning of the wife. Can he pay a hatara for the fact that he failed to make her have a... does he have to? That's the question. You mean, can he have a hatara from Zarin? And then be made for the nether later on. The Gemara is sometimes yes, sometimes not. The whole discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mishalom alahekin. If the husband was making the nether, he was making the nether, then it can be Nishalan Hakama, and now he's free to be made for the Nether. But there's a big machlekes in Rishonim, what if he wasn't made for the Yom Shama, the whole day went by? Can it be Nishalan that also? Or maybe not. That's a big machlekes in Rishonim. At the end, in the dark, there's a whole discussion. In the Shulchan Aruch it says on Erev Rosh Hashanah, many, many people have the minig. It's today not so widespread. Many people have the minig to fear. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that even little children before Bar Mitzvah usually don't fear any of the Tadeitim, just Yom Kippur they fear. So all the others, it says you don't make children fear. So state that Erev Rosh Hashanah, you should have even the little children before Bar Mitzvah should fear thoughts, at least they have to fear. So they say that the minig is that people go to the Beit HaKvaret and you should visit Kiri Tzadikim. So many are trying to make a fuss there. We have to be mechazik this man hazeh. Many point out that when you go to Kiryat Tzadik, you have to be careful not to be mispalot to the tzadik. Some people have such a hava and chibur to their rebbe, to their tzadikim. Huh? Right. Many, right. That's what the chayyodim write. That is a chashash dorish alameitim. If you hear, you go to the Kiryat Tzadikim to think about your relationship with this tzaddik and maybe in his good, the Rebbeinu Shlom should help you and you should associate with that tzaddik and you should become a better person. But you don't ask the tzaddik to intercede for you, right? One of the Kori Hamuna is that we have direct access to the Rebbeinu Shlom. If the tzaddik is alive, that's a different thing. Yes, the tzaddik could even follow when he's alive. But once he's dead, you don't ask.
What's
the school's
davening in a
very special prayer stand a better chance of being answered together with the tzaddik prayer. So if everybody did tzibur together.
He's alive.
So the Chayyodin writes like this, that a person should be careful not to ask the tzaddik. When he goes to the Beis Hamikdash, should be careful, it may be a hashash of Dorosh HaLamim. The Chayyodim got it from the Bach in Yerideya. It's similar to that. So the Bach says that it's awesome. Some other Achareim say it's not awesome. They say that the Gemara says that that's what Kolev did. And they went there to saw the Meraglim way. So the Gemara sounds like it says. It sounds like the simple translation of the Gemara is that he asked the Tzadikim, he asked the Ovoid that they should pray for him. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. The others say that Eila made them in our gutters, that it's Labdavki, it doesn't really mean that, like there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It said that there was one person who said to the mountains they should pray for me. What do you mean the mountains going to pray for me? It's Tamam Alisa. It doesn't really mean the mountains. It means to help me out. It doesn't mean that he's asking the others to be responsible. Tamam Alisa the Alma. Anyway, it's a big problem as Manazah. Some people are so cough up to their Rebbe that even after the Rebbe passed away, they still want to go. Somebody told me that he feels very bad. One of the Musmachim from Yeshiva feels very bad. The Lubavitcher Rebbe has people coming on his yahrzeit all day and all night from all over the world. And Rav Soloveitchik, nobody goes to the kever. So he wanted to organize that we should have on Rav Soloveitchik's yahrzeit, we should have at least a minion of Talmidim from Yeshiva. We should go to this kever. So I told him, I don't think Rav Soloveitchik is a milker. He wouldn't have liked it. He said that during his lifetime, he said his family tradition was that they would not, they followed the minig of the Gur, not to go visit Kibrit Tzadikim in order not. He visited the kever of my mother's kever. I never had such the heritage from my mother that I should deify my mother. Maybe I should have had, but I did. But there's no chashash that I'm going to deify my mother. But Taka, to visit the Rebbe, that we all had such hanos in the Rebbe, we all cannot deify him. We're going to go visit his kevi after death. We may start to deify him, Chalila. The Rav Soloveitchik used to be machmir about that. He said that his family tradition was that they didn't visit Kiryat Tzadikim in order not to fall into this chashash of Dorosh HaLamechem, not to get involved.
Yes.
So that's what the Achrayim are not sure how to deal with all these Agadites. So some say that everything is had to Gomer, and others say no, that everything should be reinterpreted, all the Gemara should be reinterpreted. Right, we should, the Gemara says we should go to Kibbutz Tzadikim. What are you supposed to say then? He's saying to the Rebbeinu Shlom in the school to the Tzadikim, he should give us the Yeshua, and we should realize that it's Makom Menuchas HaTzadikim is Makom HaKudosh, so our prayer team has a better chance of being
answered.
Okay, or should we ask the Nifter that he should intercede on our behalf? So that's the Machlokes. That's the Machlokes.
The word of Manu Hashem to parents, the word is that we're talking to the parents, you know, Shalom Hashem or so forth, is that not to be decided under the concept of Dorish on it? You not have a dialogue with the parents?
I never said. I don't know. But this discussion.
You just answered my question.
Okay. But this discussion comes up in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah also. Comes up a few places. Hilchos Rosh Hashanah states, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, many people fast, and when they fast, they go to the Beit HaKfarim, which is the Kibbutz Tzadikim. So the Achrayim come up with the whole discussion again over here, and they repeat it again in every day, about asking the Meitim or not asking the Meitim. So many say that it's not proper. It's a Hashash of Dor Shalom Meitim. He should be. They should all be Meilet Yosha for all of us. We hope, we were spouted to the Rabbani Shalom that the Rabbani Shalom should allow him to be a Melech Yosha. So we're not asking him to be a Melech Yosha. Pray to God that this Nifter should, the Rabbani Shalom should listen to this man's prayers. He is going to pray. Please listen to his prayers. He has what to pray. He knows the Matzav, and he knows that we're based Zara, and the Rabbani Shalom should listen to him. The Rosh in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes the Machlokes HaGoyim and whether it's permissible to fast on Rosh Hashanah. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not permitted to fast. Shana, the Yom Adin, and many Goyim are of the opinion that it's recommended that one should fast, that the Din of Chet Yolachem doesn't apply, you can make it Kulo Lashem. As I never Yom Tov, there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that if you want, you can make any Yom Tov, Kulo Lashem, if you want. But we don't, whatever that means, also a question, what Rabbi Lezer, but we don't pass like Rabbi Lezer anyway, we pass the Chet Yolachem and Chet Yolachem. So there's a big group of Goyim who held that on Rosh Hashanah, Geit Mishkanah Din of Chet Yolachem, if you want, you can dedicate the whole day to be Kulo Lashem. So it's like, yeah, so we don't talk to him like that, but a little bit we do talk to him like that. It says that on any Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're supposed to make sure that you finish davening early so that you start eating before Hatzot. And if you think that you're going to miss Hatzot, so you should eat something before the davening. What, you can't eat before the davening? So take a drink of water. You take a drink of water in the morning. So it says on Rosh Hashanah, because the Goyim are of the opinion that you're permitted to fast, even though we don't follow that opinion, but this is really only a Qumran, that if you fast the left of Hatzot, it's called a Tainus. That's not a Tainus, that wasn't a Kabbal Tainus. I'm going to eat. Why is it called a Tainus? So that's only a Qumran from the Rishonim. So on Rosh Hashanah, you're not mechuyav to be Machlan, because there are those who hold that if you want to, you can fast the whole day. So that's the Mishnah Berurah that says in the name of the Achrayim, Amed Vamarum, that's on every other Rosh Hashanah. But when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, so Shabbos, forget about Rosh Hashanah. On a plain Rosh Hashanah, you can say. But on Rosh Hashanah, Shchalvis to Shabbos, you have to be careful to tell the Chazanim that they shouldn't take too long on the Kelod, and the Gavayim shouldn't take too long on the Mishaberach by the Kriyat. A lot of times they go very slowly, they make a lot of Mishaberach in order to get more money, whatever their reasons are. So they're going to miss Chatzayim. On Rosh Hashanah, Shchalvis to Shabbos, true, there's no Kriyat. So to make up for the half an hour of Kriyat, so they sing a long Kelod, or they start later. And the Mishnah Berurah says you got to be careful not to do that. They have to finish davening l'chol ha'deis. They have to finish davening the first day Rosh Hashanah Shchol is the Shabbos in such a way that everybody, you have to give people a chance to greet each other too. But they have good answers. They're not going to run home from shul. You have to give them after 20 minutes to get home and make kiddush before Chatzot. There's a discussion in Achrayim, what if a person benches on Rosh Hashanah, and we do eat on Rosh Hashanah, we don't fear it. What if a person benches and he forgot to say Yalav Yom? So many, a few Achrayim say, look, if there's a sheet, there's a machloikas, whether you have to eat or not, some going in the hall that you're permitted to fear, so how can you say that he has to repeat the benching because he forgot to say Yalav Yom? But if Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, then we assume, like the Mishnah Berurah says, we assume that for sure, you have to eat. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, Shkolim to Shabbos. So the first day of Rosh Hashanah, for sure, you got to be careful and make sure that you say Yalav Yom in the benching. Otherwise, you got to bench over again. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is the Machlokes. You have to bench over.
For the evening.
Oh, so many, later Achrayim say that Leil, that, that's questionable. Then Achrayim say that the whole machlokes of the Goyim is whether he fasts in the daytime or not, because the daytime is his man of the din. The mishpat is by yom. The mishpat is by yom. Maybe you should say it's by leil Rosh Hashanah. There is no mishpat, so for sure you have to eat. For sure you have to eat. So for sure if you forgot Yalav Yom. I think that's what they say based on the Baal HaTanya, that leil Rosh Hashanah, if the person forgets Yalav Yom by invention, so for sure he has to bench over again. And even yom Rosh Hashanah, many Achrayim disagree, they're not so thrilled with this idea. But since the Goyim hold that you're allowed to fear, so therefore, even though we don't follow that opinion, but the evidence of a person bench it, he got the all the other, he wouldn't have to bench over again. So the mind said, we don't pass them like those guys. So what are we relying over here? The many are kind of hold that it's not right.
The Shabbos is here, like, all in your life.
If you have a phone, you're mechuyev to fit. But over here, if you didn't have a phone, Rosh Chodesh, normally Rosh Chodesh, a person forgets Yalav Yom, does not have to bench over, that's big mark. Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, and he did save his state, but he forgot Yalav Yom, so the tour has a machlekes with his brother. They're both children of the Rosh. So the tour calls his brother, Rabbeinu Yechiel, that you have to bench over again because you mechuyev to eat, and the two disagrees. That's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that you don't bench over. You mechuyev to eat mitam Shabbos, mitam Rosh Chodesh.
Why do you apply
over the same teaching? Even Rosh Hashanah Shchali is b'Shabbos, and he said b'tzei, but he forgot the Olav Yom. So what's the shy? What's the time? I don't know. It's a very strong time. The answer probably is that the whole kula, even on a plain Rosh Hashanah, that one who forgot Yalav Yom doesn't have to bench up, because against the kula hing tinta. We're not so convinced that that's right. Most of the Achronim hold that it's wrong. The Shita of the Goyim was rejected. We only rely on the Goyim regarding fasting till after Chatzoy, because that's only a chumr. So not because to make chumrs if there are those who hold that it's mutar. But bottom line, we pasken against the Goyim that you have to eat pas, not some eat. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, you have to have a suda with bread. So the Mele, since you're mechuyev to have a suda with pas, if you bench and you forgot the Olav Yom, you do have to bench over again. And if you're at the end, we really pass and let you do. So Filu, even if those who are mekel on the some shuls they make a kiddush, yeah. No, that's the big machlokes. And Shulchan Aruch says that the Mishnah says in Sukkot that it's not proper to eat before you bench Esrig, unless the person just doesn't have it an Esrig. He doesn't have an Esrig, he doesn't think he's going to get an Esrig. He's not going to fast the whole day. What is he going to accomplish by fasting? He doesn't. If he has an Esrig, so then he shouldn't eat before he benches Esrig. So from that Mishnah, we assume that who had any Mishnah, any mitzvah that you have to perform. So it's not proper to eat before Tkiyah Shoy. So many shuls, they eat before Tkiyah, before Musa, so they know everything is going to take a long time, and people are going to be starving, and they want them to be able to die. But Mikra Din, it's really Musa, it's only Te'ima. It's not really Achiva, it's only Te'ima. But the Achrayim recommend that you shouldn't do that. They should leave. So leave out the Kiddush, you have another 45 minutes. So they'll finish on the Tzavim 15 minutes early, and you don't have the Kiddush, and you be Mekatzer a little bit. Now we'll have to be Marach so much on Rosh Hashanah. Now, thank you, always used to insist that it's better, rather than make Kiddush before the Tkiyah, they should make the Kiddush a little humorous in between the Tkiyah, the Miyushav, and Mutav. Everybody used to scream, what do you mean the Sachmamish Hepsit? You know, Lenin Mamish says, no, it's better, that was his opinion. Better to be mafsik, it's better to violate that din, to be mafsik in the middle of the tkiyah by having kiddush, rather than to be mekel to have tkiyah. Most of the pasim held not like that. Most of the pasim held not so. This year, because the first day Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and we observe the takanas atanoim, that you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah shechali is the Shabbos. Mar says the reason why is because of the gzeira, the chashash, and the avarena dalanamis b'shusarab. Somebody may forget and carry the shofar in the streets. First, the Gemara thought that it's a din d'oraisa based on the pasuk, that one pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah, and the other pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Zichron Teruah. Yom Teruah means the day on which you blow shofar. Zichron Teruah means the day on which you talk about blowing shofar. So when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you talk about tefillah. And when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, it's Yom Teruah. Then the Gemara says, no, it's only a din d'rabbanan. So why does the pasuk have? How do you explain this discrepancy? So the Gemara never fears ice in the maskana. How do you explain the discrepancy? And we understand that that's what it's referring to, because in our davening, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Masechta Sofrim, where Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, we call the day Yom Teruah, Yom Zichron Teruah. And when it falls on our weekday, we call it Yom Teruah. So we assume that that's the mashmos of the pasuk. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara says that it's only the Rabbanon this thing that you don't allow Tiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah's holiday Shabbos. So how can it be that that's shot in the pasuk? So some Akronim claim, I guess the Bengals quotes from the Mabit, some others, some Akronim claim, early Akronim, they claim it's Tak only the Rabbanon, but when was this there the Rabbanon instituted? In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? It was already in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shem Yavaren and Dalai Lama. So that's why the Torah records. Not everything in the Torah is a din d'oraisa. Whatever the Rabbanon Shalom said is a din d'oraisa. But there are things described in the Chumash that are takanas to Rabbanon. They were made already in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, the Gemara points out, Vayelchu Shloshet Yamin Velo Mayim. They were traveling in the Mitzvah for 3 days and there was no water. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to get them some water. So the Gemara says, in addition to the Pshut Shel Mikra, there was no water. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, the end of Perek Merubah, Ein Mayim Ala Torah, that they went 3 days without learning Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana. Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana. You should have 3 days of Torah. Sheinu Hamishu Vishabbat. You shouldn't have 3 days go by without a public Kriyas HaTorah. Here the Chumash is referring to a takana to Moshe Rabbeinu. Just because the scribes of Chumash doesn't make it into a din d'oraisa, Moshe Rabbeinu is not the Rabban Shalom. But Moshe Rabbeinu makes the takana is only a din d'rabbanan. But the Torah describes, the Torah is alluding to a din d'rabbanan. Here also, some of our friends claim that this takana is a takana kedumah already from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, not the blow shofar of Rosh Hashanah falls on our Shabbos, and not by the Chumash has this discrepancy. Yom Teruah and Yom Zichron Teruah. It's alluding to the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a din d'rabbanan that has the approval of the Rabban Shalom, and that's why he included it in this Chumash.
What? Because he wants to learn how to do the tefillah.
Yeah.
On Rosh Hashanah in the morning. How? I mean, there's no time to learn.
He went to the office. He went to business every day. He went to business. I have no time. I'm busy learning different. I'm busy learning Kiddush. I have no time to learn Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. He wants to talk about people who work for a living. No. Rosh Hashanah is going to learn the Bracha to learn how to speak. Most Achrayim assume not so though. Most Achrayim assume, like the Baal HaTanya writes in his Roshes in the Likutei Torah, he writes it to W. Yadur Mepursam that this Takana Shemei Avarena was instituted as Man Bai Shena. He says it's a double question like that. He doesn't give any mocker. And then he gives a whole explanation of Pikabola. Why was it only necessary to make such Xeris in the Bais Sheni and not in the Bais Rishon? He says in the Bais Rishon there was an independent Jewish government, and somehow when there's independence, you have your own government, somehow that gives you a shmirah from the Chitzoyim, from the Yetzirah. And the Bais Sheni, because there was no independent Jewish government until the days of the Hashmonaim, there were couples to the Persians and the others, but that's why they had to make all of these Xeris. So he gives some kind of, I didn't fully understand, they give some kind of a Kabbalistic explanation.
Okay,
the Shire
to the
Rule of Manessa.
The Rule of
Manessa
definitely
comes out of the Shire.
The question, when was
it that
one? Definitely was. They used to
bring you a lot in the Shabbos. They used to bring you a lot
in the Shabbos. That was in the Migdash. The Migdash,
they allowed it.
They used to bring the Rule of Manessa to the Shire and they used to bring you a lot. And then they won, because it's not working. They get away. And then Shem Yavir Reno.
Shofar, we know what the man advice. It says only in the Migdash you're allowed to blow shofar, but Kutzlan Migdash you're not allowed to blow shofar, and Rosh Hashanah is called Yisrael Shabbos. Right, but the Lulav is the same Chashash and the man advice, they were not grazing. That the market is man advice, they weren't grazing on the Lulav. But on the shofar, they weren't grazing. I don't know why, it's a good question.
But
remember, gotta look in the market.
当然能够保险，修一种生意让你生出来。
So the shaila is if one should assume with the kasha, it's a fact assumption. Shaila is if one should assume the way we usually assume, like the Balatanya wrote, that this was not a takhana kasuma from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. This was instituted in the period of the Baisheni, at least in the Baisheni. It wasn't in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you do with this discrepancy in the Chumash? Well, what about the pshat and the pasuk? This I'm sure. So Dorach HaShulchan writes a pasha to answer. That's a very popular people say without knowing the Aruch HaShulchan says it. The Gemara has many Dinim Derabbanan that they make an Asmachta for. So sometimes the Gemara says it's only a Din Derabbanan that Kru Asmachta the Yalma. Sometimes says it's a Din Derabbanan and the Pasuk is an Asmachta. So the Prima Gvadim writes in his Sicha Kolelis, his introduction to Aruch HaYin, that he thinks that there's a difference between the two phrases Asmachta as opposed to Asmachta the Yalma. Asmachta b'yalma means that it's only a mnemonic device to remember the din d'rabbanan. It's not longer check it out of the I read it. But an asmachta, not asmachta b'yalma, it's not an asmachta. Asmachta means that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam formulated the Lashon HaPasuk in such a way to lead us to understand that that is really his interest. He didn't want to prohibit ki ha-shoichan ben ha-teirah and Rosh Hashanah, and ha-teirah yidu b'lo shoichan ha-shanah. But he wanted the Chachamim to read in between the lines of the Chumash to understand that he would like to make such a, he would like them to make such a Gzeir Derabon. You have quite a few psukim like that, that the psukim are so mashma, Adin Derabon, like it says, the Gemara has in the beginning of Perakol Abbas and Chulin, where is there a remez in the Tilus Yadayim in our Torah? So the Gemara says, it says by the Zav, it's the Zav's stomach, the Yodav lo shatav b'mayim, and he didn't wash his hands, and he touches somebody with his hands, so he's metami the other person. And he did wash his hands, he's not metami. If he doesn't go mikvah, he has to go mayim chayim even. A plain mikvah that we use is no good for a zav. A zav didn't need mayim. So what kind of pasuk is yodav lo shatav b'mayim? So the Gemara says, Nikan, the Tanaim say, Nikan remez when the tilus yadayim men atara. What do you mean a remez? It says, the yodav lo shatav b'mayim. So the Gemara explains what it means is when he's table in mikvah, he only has to be table the outside part of the body. He doesn't have to open his mouth, he doesn't have to open his eyes, because that's called Beis HaStor. The Beis HaStor doesn't have to have the Asmai. My Yadav Mi Baroi, just like the hands are exposed on the outside of the body, Apkol Mi Baroi. So that's what it means. The Yadav means any part of the body that's like the Yadayim, Lashatav Bamayim. Doesn't mean it didn't wash into the Yadayim. With the cup means he wasn't table in the mikveh, the water didn't touch. But that's not the way it sounds. It sounds so much that it's referring to the Tilus Yadayim. So the Tanaim said, yeah, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was telling us in between the lines. He worded it in such a way. He's encouraging us to make a takana of Netilus Yadayim. Many of the takanas are Rabbanah. They read the pasuk that that was really the Rasa of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam hinted to it. There's the famous response, the first parak of Rosh Hashanah writes like this. More talks about say, Ma Amar Torah, why does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tell us we should say Malchus is the Chaynish and Shofis, and why did the Torah tell us this? So the Midbar assumes that Malchus is the Chaynish and Shofis is only the Rabbanah. The whole davening of Malchus and Shofis is only the Rabbanah. So what does the Gemara say? We say Ma'am Torah. So the Midbar says because it's an Asmachta. Asmachta is only a remez b'alma. So he says no. They have a tradition from the Ramban, the Beis Midrash from the Ramban. The one who says that an Asmachta is what a remez b'alma is achshash apikurs, not a remez b'alma. That's an asmachta ba'alma, but whenever you have an asmachta chashuva, it means that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted us to understand the real mashmoyos of the pasuk. He was hinting to us, he was leading us to understand that he was encouraging us, that we should make such a gzeira d'rabbanan. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes over here also. That this gzeira d'rabbanan is not a din d'oraisa, that you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it's a gzeira d'rabbanan. The Gzeira d'Rabbanan was based on the Pasuk. The Chachamim saw in the Mashmoyos of the Pasuk that it's really the Ratzon of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that in some future generation the Chachamim should get up and make such a Gzeira d'Rabbanan.
And the rule that you don't have how do you come by rule to make that?
Maybe based on this Pasuk. No, Allah Mashmoyos is in the real Dinda, right? Why do you ask? Because the Aruch HaShulchan writes a Lashon. I'm wondering why. The Aruch HaShulchan writes a Lashon. It's only the Rabbanah that we don't blow Shofar, Rosh Hashanah, Kol Zayin, and Shabbos. It's based on the Pasuk, but that's not what the Pasuk means. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was Merameh, and it was always a Halacha L'Moshe Nisina.
don't know what it means by that. What do you mean? It was a halacha l'moshe Sinai that they should make a gzeira de rabbanim. That's what it means. I don't know. In the beginning of Erevin, you have such a thing. The first Mishnah in Erevin. The Mishnah talks about dinim de rabbanim, that if you have an area that has three mechitzes, a mavi has three mechitzes, so minatari you're permitted to carry. But with the rabbanim, you have to do something on the fourth side also to be permitted to carry. So there's a Tosfos there with a marshal and a vav, and there's a meiri there. They write a lashon that this need for the tikkun on the ruach haziyus is only the rabbanon, but it's halacha l'moshe Sinai. What do you mean halacha l'moshe Sinai and the rabbanon? It's a newfangled thing. They had a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that the Rabbanon Shlomo is encouraging them to make a gzeira de rabbanon. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes such a lashon over here. He says they had a halacha l'moshe Sinai that they should make such a gzeira de rabbanon. How does he know they had such? Azay Shai? I don't know. The Mishnah says that in the Beis HaMikdash they did blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Kavan on Shabbos. And there's a famous Rambam in the Tirush on Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah where the Rambam writes, "Bamikdash Hayitaykin" doesn't only refer to in the Beis HaMikdash. The term Mikdash means the whole Ir Atika, the whole old city of Yerushalayim. So a few years ago, right after Machanah Sheish Tayanim in 1967, if I'm not mistaken, I think the first Rosh Hashanah after Machanah Sheish Tayanim was like this year. It was Shabbos and Sunday. So many of the Rabbanim were interested in blowing shofar and Yir Atika based on the Rambam and the Tirush HaMishnah. Rambam, the Aruch HaZaken, was not passing like that. This Tirush HaMishnah is based on the Yerushalmi. And when it says Bamigdash, the word Migdash does not only refer to Beis HaMigdash, it refers to the whole old city. The same thing that Lulav Niko called Shiva. That you have to shake the Lulav and the Esrog when I tell it all 7 days. So the Rambam writes off in the Tirush HaMishnah is based on the Talmud Yerushalmi. That means the whole old city. You have to bench Esrog when I tell it all 7 days in the old city. But the Miyana Chazaki doesn't pass like that. So there was a whole pilpul then that quite a few Rabbanim said, no, now that we're back in the Iratika, then we should blow Shaykh on Rosh Hashanah Shachal Yisrusha. So I remember also, basically that year, after the summer, he always had the practice and he spent a few days, or sometimes 2 weeks, learning through in Yom Rosh Hashanah and Yom Yom Kippur and Sukkot before the Yom Kippur. So he read the Gemara, so he thought that was ridiculous. He said, the halacha b'migdash ha'itaykin is because there was a Sanhedrin in the Beit HaMikdash. Because the Talmid HaChachamim, the Sanhedrin is there, out of Eimat HaSanhedrin, not out of Eimat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Mikdash Yitiro. Out of Eimat HaSanhedrin, that's the Mashmas HaGemar, the people will not sin. When they'll see such big Rabbanim, they know that they're in the presence of such big Rabbanim, they'll be more medactic in the presence of the Shechinah, not so much, but the presence of the Sanhedrin. Why? Because the Mishnah says, after the Chodim by Shemi, the Bezin moved to Yavne, then the Zalba Takana. And then the Bezin moved from Yavne to other communities, Shvaram and Sipari, and other places. So that's a further Machlege Takana. Was it only in Yavne, or was it all in Esther Golias, it's also Sanhedrin? He said the simple Mashmoth of the Gemara is that Bamigdash HaYitaykin, not because the Beit HaMikdash is the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash, or Yerushalayim, whatever the Pshat is the Mokam HaSanhedrin. But today there is no Sanhedrin. He says, what Shaykh, even if you follow the Talmud Yerushalmi, that the Rambam is quoting in the Tirush HaMishnayos, even if you follow that, the Rambam in the Aruch HaZaken is not quoted. But even if one would follow that Tirush HaMishnayos, B'Shem HaYerushalmi, that Mikdash means the Holy Ratika, but that's only the Zman Shaykh of Sanhedrin. Yoshev is the Ratika, but if you don't have, you don't have. The Gemara.
Okay.
We don't remember. The last time it was on Shabbos was a long time ago, so we all forgot it. Okay.
But the rib,
wasn't the rib
in the rib?
Right. The Gemara says that there's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, in the beginning of the fourth parak in Rosh Hashanah by Rosh Hashanah Shchavis to Shabbos. Which but the dinim can blow when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? So one time it holds only in Yavne, and the other Tanoim say, Echad Yavne, Echad Komochim, Shiyesh Bezin. So there are two Tanoim who say Kimat the same thing, Echad Yavne, Echad Komochim, Shiyesh Bezin. So they say the exact same thing, so what are they fighting about? The Gemara says there's a difference of opinion. So the Gemara says, Machlekes is, what about Bezin or the Yikroi? What does that mean? A Bezin is only there for the Yikroi. The Pashuk Shad, the Bezin is only, the Bezin HaGadol is there, but they're only traveling through temporarily. They don't have an office, they don't have an address. Many say running away persecution, they're traveling to where they're going to have their office, and they happen to be here for Rosh Hashanah. So do you say, oh, the Bezin is here, so they're permitted to blow shofar? You say, no, this is not their makom kavua. That's the Pashup Shas. So the Rish had a different interpretation. He said, Bidina Dikroi, if the Bezin is not really an official Bezin, they don't have smicha. A Bezin HaGadol has to have smicha. They don't have smicha. What should I have to say, Bezin HaGadol? His man said, nobody has any real smicha. We have an imitation smicha today. It's not a real smicha. The difference is, so the Rish says, that's what it means. Bidina Dikroi means a Bezin that's not, that doesn't really have smicha, but there, they're like the Bezin HaGadol, Bidorom. It's a prominent business. So there is help, la'alocha l'kula, that any mokoy where there is a bezin, a chosh of a bezin, in that generation that's recognized and accepted, is permitted to blow shofar when Hashanah calls on Hashanah. So the Rishayim quotes the Talmidim of Darius Rice that he had the practice, wherever there is, had the practice of blowing shofar when Hashanah fell on Hashanah. Look, that's needless to say, that's no longer the practice. No smicha. The Rif learns that's what it means. Beidina dikroi a bezin. It doesn't have any smicha, but they're a recognized bezin in their generation. He didn't necessarily have to hold that he was the gadol hador. He was a recognized bezin. So he held that that's the machloekes satanoi, and he held the kula. The Rif held that we passed from the kula that any choshev recognized bezin in their generation, even if they don't have smicha, is permitted to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shavuot B'Shan. But today, even in the days of the Rishon, the opinion of the Rif was not accepted. But the Talmid Rif quotes that was his practice. There is a machlekes Rishonim in Shulchan Aruch. They discuss it halacha l'maaseh. What happens if somebody goes ahead and he does blow shofar against the Takanas Chametz? He goes ahead and he blows shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. He wasn't permitted to. So do you say that he's yotzei on the level of the Raisa? He wasn't supposed to do that, but he's yotzei the mitzvah. Why not? Or do you say no? Since the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to blow shofar, so they said, you're not mechuyis. You're not allowed to, because of the chashash you may be mechal Shabbos. Not allowed to means you're not mechuyis to. Not mechuyis to gomer. So you didn't do anything. It's like blowing shofar today. It's a day on which you're not supposed to blow, not mechuyis to blow shofar. So you're not here to say anything. L'may nafkimina, my da havahavi. You blew shofar, what's the difference? So they have the nafkimina for the Spartans. Right. For the Spartans who, when you have to hear shofar on the first day and the second day, they don't say Shafyonu on the second day. That's how the Machaber Pashas is like the Rambam. That's the mini Frankfurt like that. You only say Shafyonu on the first day, not the second day. Everybody else follows the Rambam. All the other Ashkenazim follow the Rambam. Except for Frankfurt. They're not the Ashkenazim. So all the other Ashkenazim follow the mini of the Rambam. The Rambam says you say Shafyonu on the first day, the second day. Both days. That doesn't make a difference. What do you say? Right, Lulav would be the Shaykh, because we don't say Shaykh in the second day. But here by Shaykh, that's what they have this machloikis. What's the din and aspar to Shekhila? And the wise guy, Baal Tekeh, went up and he blew in Shul on the first day. He yelled at it to Bezin Kabul, whatever. But he went and he blew Shaykh on the first day. So when he goes to blow Shaykh on the second day, should he say Shaykh Yonu? Because yesterday he absolutely wasn't going to say anything, because since the Chachamim said, there's no Kiyah Shaykh on Shabbat, so that the tears were, didn't constitute a kiyam on this at all. Or should you say no? He was over the yitzah, the Rabbanon of Shem Yavarenah, but he still fulfilled the mitzvah their raisa. So on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, they quote this machlokes, and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman points out that in Yevamos, in the Sefer Yevamos Apostolic, that it looks like it may be a machlokes HaRishayim regarding this. To what extent does the Chachamim have the ability to be Oikah Dovim and Atayra? It's a very interesting concept. The Chachamim have the ability, the Pasuk says, the Chachamim have the authority and have the obligation to introduce Zeris and Hachafis and Siyav Nasei Siyav Latar. That's what it says in 50 others. The opening Mishnah, Nasei Siyav Latar. Eimam Shlosh Adva, Nasei Siyav Latar. But the Shaykhs over here, they have the authority to tell us to violate the Dini HaTorah. They tell us, don't blow shofar, don't fulfill the mitzvah their isis. B'shevi al tassus. That's a tremendous koyach. That's a tremendous prayer. That's what Rabbi Hanan Vassamir asks in the Sefer on Yevamos. Where did they see that they have this authority? Aren't they overstepping the bounds? Who states in the Torah that the Rabban Shalom gave him such authority? And he suggests that's pshat in the pasuk, v'yisrafim yikal adar sh'yagidu l'cho yom in the small, afil al yamin shu small, v'al small shu yamin. The Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Sifrei, the Drasha, you have to listen to the Chachamim, even if what they're telling you is absolutely wrong. So the Rabban asked the Kasha, how can it be? But the Mishnah says in the beginning of Torah is that you're not allowed to listen to the Chacham. If you know that they're wrong, you're not allowed to listen. You only listen if there's a chance that they're right. But if the Bavada is wrong, you're not allowed to listen. Back in the Sifrei says, I'll give you a small motion in this. The Lachan of Asman says that this Drush and this Sifrei is talking about a different case. Not that they made a mistake. If you know that the Yoda, if somebody knows Bezin made a mistake, he's not permitted to listen to the Bezin. But if Bezin didn't make a mistake, they tell you today's Rosh Hashanah, and the Rabbi Shalom told you the Blah Shaitra, and with the power vested in us, that we are the Bezin, we tell you not to listen to the Rabbi Shalom. That's how you mention who's small. They didn't make a mistake. They know what they're talking about. But they tell you to violate the Dini HaTorah. So the Torah says, I feel you mention who's small. You have to listen to the Chachamim. Even if they want to tell you to do something, the Akira, Govman HaTorah. Rabbi Chana says, that's what it means on Yemin Shul Smol. Not if they're making a mistake. It's Rosh Hashanah, Thursday Rosh Hashanah. We should have in mind that by not blowing Shofar, we're fulfilling the Takmanas Chachamim. We're fulfilling the Mitzvah Deraisa of our Yemin Shul Smol. We're listening to the Chachamim to hold us, to restrain ourselves from fulfilling the Mitzvah Deraisa. You have to have in mind to be Yaitre Dasmin. By Lulavos, Allah. In Shulchan Aruch it says, and the Gemara it says, that the din is that the Kohanim are really supposed to duchen every day. Once a day, every day, if you call upon them. Our minig is, by the Ashkenazim, the minig is that we don't call upon them. If you don't ask them to duchen, they're not mechuyev to duchen. But whenever you ask them to duchen, they're mechuyev to duchen once a day, every day. So our practice is, for whatever reason, our practice is, we only call upon the Kohanim to duchen on Yom Tov. Shulchan Aruch, they say that the Kohanim have to duchen the Ahava. They have to be in a good mood. So most people have such a Dekha Kapanos, that's what they describe in the days of the Mishnah, a Dekha Kapanos, they're running around, they're so poor, so they're not going to be in such a happy mood. Come Yom Tov, everybody's in a happy mood, happier than on Shabbos, and then they can duchen in a good mood, the Yahava. So there was a widespread minig in Europe that the Rambam mentions, and he's very angry about, that when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, many communities they wouldn't do. So the Rambam says that it's not proper. And the later Rav Moshe has, many before Rav Moshe point out that there are different reasons why the Kohanim didn't do him when Yom Tov fell out on Shabbos, and all of the reasons no longer apply. All of those reasons that they had in Europe not to do him no longer apply to Zman Hazeh. Even if one is a descendant of those communities, but they had such a meaning, not to do him, Zman Hazeh doesn't apply anymore. One reason was that the Kohanim had a chumre that just like when you do avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be tohor, so too before they do them, they have to go to mikdash. So when Yom Tov calls that on Shabbos, and then Oina Tamachachom on the Shabbos, they won't have a chance to go to mikdash. So how can you do them? This is Manazah. Who goes to mikdash before they do them? Nobody goes to mikdash before they do them. The reason doesn't apply. On a regular Yom Tov that falls out on a weekday, they don't go to mikdash. So what's happening on Shabbos? You should be Gora. They give several other reasons. So the person say all the reasons don't apply. But that's what Rav Soloveitchik told over the humorous story that when he first came, I don't know all the details, he told us because when he first came to America, he had a position as, I think, the Rabbi Kaimel of Boston or something. And that was the first Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, and they weren't going to duchen. So he says, oh, people say, I rang this up, he says he gave them over the head. And he gave them, he was young, and he gave them over the head. He says, I won the fight and I lost the job. He says, I'm a Tzoy Rosh Hashanah, they fired him. I don't know exactly what job he had. He had some position there in Boston. I'm not exactly sure, but that's what he said. They told us in Shir and Yishuv, he said, boys, try to see to it, when you'll be in Rabbanah, try to see to it that they should do it. But he says, it's not worth losing your position for this. There are other bigger issues to fight for losing this. But the proper thing is that one should do it, and even when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. I remember in my community in Washington Heights, in the Aguda Minyan, they always had the practice not to do it. Why? Because they're not from France, but they're from Hamburg, I think. Hamburg had a meeting not to do it. Fulda. They had a meeting not to do it. So for years, people will tell it. Many of them used to go to hear Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky's shiur on Sunday morning in Muncie. Used to learn Shalom, or Novi, whatever. So Rabbi Perl always said, why don't you ask Rabbi Yankov? They knew in his beard for another. But they said, Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva. No, that's the meeting. They don't follow Rabbi Moshe. And they said, go ask Rabbi Yankov. They knew Rabbi Yankov was going to say, no, they're not going to ask. After many years of people pressuring them, so finally they gave in, so they changed their minute. It's a century, they changed the minute. And they do duchen on the Yom Tov Shechol Yisrael. Oh, they're different in Hagi, what they say, they're Rabbanu Shel Olam. Right. The Shaila is one of Pchinas. If you're not permitted to say Pchinas on Yom Tov, and you're not permitted to say Pchinas on Shabbos, and the insistence that Kfeda not to say Pchinas on Shabbos is more than the Kfeda not to say Pchinas on Yom Tov. So many have the Minig that even when you duchen on Yom Tov Shechol Yisrael Shabbos, but you leave out the special Tfila of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, so they don't sing any Nigavim. The Chazan says Yishmerecha. The Chazan says Yishmerecha. They don't have any. There's no purpose of having a nigun then. They just say right away Yishmerecha. That's what they have in most yeshivas. That's the name. The Netziv writes in his Chuvas in the Meshuv Dova that in Valojin by the Balabatim and in the yeshiva, their minig was that they did say the Rabbanu Shlom even on Yom Tov Shechol is the Shabbos, and he defends that minig. He explains that it's different. Only Pchinas Chutzlit Shmoneh Esrei. Penis in the Shmanasri, you may say, he gets involved. But he records that was the meaning. Not only today, Duchen, the Yom Tov fell on Shabbos, they would say that Rabbanu Shel Olam as well. This year, because the first day Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, so there's a din that on Yom Tov, you don't have an obligation to have Shabbos Shudas. But on Shabbos, even when it's the Yom Tov, you have to have Shabbos Shudas. But right away it's going to be the second day Yom Tov. So l'chatchila, it's not proper to begin a Neo Samach l'Ninchaktan. L'Ninchaktan means 2.5 hours before the end of the day. Samach means a half an hour before. So it means 3 hours before the end of the day. The Shkir is around the 7:15 or so. The 3 hours before that is something approximately 4 o'clock. And the hours are still a little longer than the 60 minutes now. Shoaz Maniyah. So l'chatchila, the proper thing is that you should start, not to finish, but you should start the Shabbos Shudas before approximately 4 o'clock, before the Gimel Shor Tzomach. L'chatchila is supposed to eat Shabbos Shudas after Mincha, so l'chatchila should daven Mincha earlier. So l'chatchila, the Mishnah Berurah says, you're supposed to finish on Shabbos, you're supposed to finish davening earlier in such a way that you eat before, unless you have a Kiddush. It's not right. You're not supposed to have a kiddush. Especially you're not blowing shofar. So what are they having a kiddush about? This could not take a long time. So the chatchila, the proper thing is to finish davening Musaf on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, before Chatzos, and everybody goes home and they start eating before Chatzos. You shouldn't fit on Shabbos till after Chatzos. And then they're supposed to get together to daven Shiva the Tzibur early enough to start Shabbos Shiva. The chatchila should daven Musaf before you shall Shiva. So the chatchila should start the Shabbos Shiva before 4 o'clock or so. But the Yevet, because it's Somoch L'Mincha Ktanov, for the second day Yom Tov. Mishnah Berurah says, but the Yevet, if the person didn't yet eat Shalosh Shudas, and it's a half an hour before the Shkia, it's 6:45, but for the Yevet, he's permitted to eat Shalosh Shudas. So what do you mean it's Erev Yom Tov? But the Shabbos, you forget about the fact that it's Erev Yom Tov. So for the Yevet, if you didn't have Shalosh Shudas yet, the Belay's Bear you have later in the day. But the proper thing is to work together with the Gavoyim to work out the Zmanim, as it is with the Balei Tchila, that they should finish Musaf in such a way that everybody should be able to start eating the Sudas Hayom before Chatzos, and they should have Mincha before 4 o'clock in such a way that they should be able to begin Shalosh Shudas before 4 o'clock. And the second night of Rosh Hashanah is a famous Machlokes HaRishonim, the Rambam and the Raizen, and the Rosh has a whole discussion what they say Shachyonu and the Kiddush. And a similar machleik is Alpi Pashtus, what they say Shachyonu on the second morning by Tzvi Shoyfer, that's what we mentioned. The Chabad says, you don't say Shachyonu on the second day, this year for sure you do. And the first day you didn't blow Shoyfer. But on a normal Rosh Hashanah, Shechol Yis V'chol, the Mechabah holds on the second day, you don't say Shachyonu, the Ramah says that you do. But the Rabbah quotes in the Rosh, in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh quotes from the Maharam Gutenberg, from the Hasidi Ashkenaz, that they had a minute to avoid the Nikra Din, we pass on it, you do say Shachyon. The Ramah says, you do say Shachyon, both in the Kiddush, Amrel, Shainish, or Rosh Hashanah, and by the Sphere Shev. But in order to avoid the Machloikis, Kibay Yoytis Zan, the Falashitis, so the Hasidi Ashkenaz, Hamayi Fit Aminik, that they have either a Beged Chodosh or a Pri Chodosh, so for sure you say Shachyon. So the Abnineza pose the Kasha, that the Adayam is ever not too sure what the Teretz is on the Kasha. How does this solve the problem? How does this Beged Chodesh solve the problem? Let's say a person saying Kiddush on the last Shabbos, Pashas Nitzavim Vayel. He got the Kiddush, and then he bought a new suit, a new Beged. So he wants to say Shachyon. He says Shachyon in the middle of Kiddush. He says, Kiddush, Mekadosh Hashem, Zerazov Shachyon. So I have to say, the Chachamim were not mistaken. We say Shachyon on the day of Chodesh, if we chodesh on the Kiddush. So he's going to say Shachyon will be a hefzik between the Bar Piyagraf and the drinking of the wine. So he will be in violation of the din of Hanenim and Olam Hazeh B'lai Brach, because the Brach is a Brach of Atolah. The Brach on the Kiddush, the Bar Piyagraf, is a Brach of Atolah. He is mastic. He has to say another Bar Piyagraf. He's not going to say another Bar Piyagraf. It's going to be a hefzik. So what did they do over here, the Avodah Zarah, the Sekhtar Kash? What did they do? According to those who Shanim hold that you don't have to say Shachyanu, it's not you don't have to say, you're not allowed to say Shachyanu. You're not allowed to say Shachyanu, like a regular Shabbos. So you're going to stick in the Shachyanu, fine, it's a good Shachyanu for the Begat Chodesh, or the Pi Chodesh, but where? Be Pastus Arayin in the Kiddush, and to say a Shachyanu where it doesn't belong, life's not a hefzik. So then he's in violation of drinking the wine without a bracha. Isn't that a bigger avera? To drink the wine without a birchas hanenah, to say a bracha, to make the bracha of God into a bracha l'atolah is an avera. To drink the wine without a bracha l'atolah. Not to say the shachyanu, hot the nish to kind of event. Even if he's supposed to say the shachyanu. And he leaves out the shachyanu, he's suffering. So he didn't fulfill the takon of the rabbon. Like this, he made two averas. He made an avera of drinking the wine without a bracha and a bracha l'atolah. So the Abdei Nezer was more of this kasha. What did they accomplish? What on the Yerkes on the Chassidi Ashkenaz? They introduced the Begat Chodesh. The Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Shlomo Bracha, has in his faith and in Limpa Shlomo, there were reprints of old Divya Torah that he had printed many years earlier. So he has a whole teret on this that it's not a Bracha Lata. He far emphasizes the kasha. But it's Bekoshi. The kasha is better than the teret. The answer is Nikra Adin, we really pass them that you do say Shachyon. If we would really hold that it's a Sveikin Adina, then this Ace wouldn't really be a solution. We hold Nikra Adin, it's not a Brachal of Atolah. It does belong. So we have to say, we put the wrong Chashish for Brachal of Atolah, we put the Tegat Chodesh on the Pi Chodesh. Right, that's the Shach, right. You say that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Arista only Lahachmir, or Bein Lahachmir, Bein Lahachmir. That's the machlokes of Rishayim. So that's really the crux of the issue, whether you should say Shachyanu the second day off.
You eat the Shachyanu on the fruit, which is right in front of him, which is going to eat immediately. It's all the hefzik. It's not a mitzvah.
A hefzik in the Kiddush. He says, Barthi Adolf in the Kiddush, you got to tell Yom HaDitar, right? And then he says Shachyanu has no shaykhis with the Kiddush. It has nothing to do with the Kiddush. If you hold Yeronis, they say Shachyanu on the Kiddush the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So if you do say Shachyanu, it's extraneous, it should really be a hefzik.
What about when you're going to do fruit?
Different opinion, but you say Shachyanu before the Bar Tihuayit, and the Shachyanu after the Bar Tihuayit. Different opinion, yeah. So that you can say that's not a hefzik, that's what the Chachamim are talking. Like when you normally say Kiddush, you say Bar Piyagraf and then you say Kiddush. So let the Kiddush be a hefzik in between the Bar Piyagraf and the drinking. So the Rashi answers Kachik no Chacham. Let's say Amatoy Shabbos. This year you're going to say Yak Nahan. You're going to say Yain Kiddush Ne Abdullah Ma. You're going to say so many brachas in between the Bar Piyagraf and the drinking. So the Rashi says that's not a kasher. That was the Chachamim's Takkaris. The Chachamim were the ones that make all the Takkaris. So they told to say all of these brachas. Here, if you hold that the second night of Rosh Hashanah, you don't say Shachyanah, the Moisik no Chachamim Kasha. You want to introduce the Shachyanah to your Begat Kodosh, then let it be a Hefzik.
Those people who don't make Shachyanah Begat Kodosh, when is the Brach, when is the Tiyu Chavah? When he puts on the Begat? What should you do? Put on the Begat just because the Kodosh is there?
Shachyanu is either chal when you purchase the baguette and you hold it if it's ready, or if it's not yet tailored, you didn't check it and it's not your size and you have to make the legs and the sleeves and whatever. So then you say Shachyanu when you're excited about wearing it. It doesn't have to be the first, second. You can say it. First time, second time, and you're still all excited.
You put on the new baguette when you go to Shachyanu.
Okay.
So you come back and you make a Shachyanu. If you do the head kiddush, you are
excited. Yeah. You're still excited over there. It didn't get dirty yet. His children didn't make it dirty yet. It is a Yom Arista. Like the Rambam and the writer is, do we say Yom Arista only Lahachmir or even Lahachmir? Here Lahachmir means to knock off the Shachyanu. On a normal Yom, he says Shachyanu the second night. So this verse to say that Rosh Hashanah, you should cancel the Shachyanu is, it's a Yom Arista even Lahachmir.
That's the machlokes. Is that so? Is it only lahachmir to add on chumras, or even to take what? To take what? Rav Soloveitchik always used to point out every year that there's a special takana satanoim, or perhaps possibly a real indirect that the Mishnah reports in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that you have to listen to the tkiyas al seida habrachos. And the Gemara says it has to be al seida habrachos of the Chazaras Hashach. Let that person himself is davening the yechidus, doesn't feel well, he davens at home, davens the yechidus, and he's an expert about the keya, or he has about the keya there at home, so then the Gemara says he does not blow in the middle of the tshiva, in the tshiva of the yachid, the yechidus. Only when you daven in shul. So the Rav Soloveitchik used to say, how is that in the middle of Seder Brachos? So the Chazan is Yosef Kiyas al Seder, he's davening. What has got to do with the other people in the shul? So the answer is, the Chazan Chazar Hashat relates to everybody in the shul. So he said, Vamedvam Amorf, you're going to pay attention. So if you're going to be walking in and out of the shul, keep on there. Let's say someone has to go to Beit HaKisa. A long davening has to go to the bathroom. So when should he go to the bathroom? When they're saying the Tiyutim of Kael HaRachin, he has to answer. Or when the Chazan is saying the Chazar Hashat, so he doesn't have to answer anything. So most people have the attitude, how can you walk out in the middle of the youth and you have to answer back and forth? Middle of Hazar Hashat, he's saying, I'm not saying. Truth and matter is just to be heard. If the person has to go to Beit HaKisa, he has to go. So you should go when they're saying piyutim. The piyutim you can live without, the yoytah the Hazar Hashat without the piyutim. You cannot walk out in the middle of the Hazar Hashat when he's saying, the mouth is when the shoulders when he's saying the brach. And the proper thing is, that's what the Rishonim are, so the Rishonim say the Farish. It's not sufficient that you listen to the Hazaras Hashat to those three brachas alone. Malchus, Rehina, Shoifus, and hear the Tzias. No, you have to listen to Tzias. I'll say the Habrachas of the Hazaras Hashat, the whole Hazaras Hashat, from the beginning to the end. So people should be careful. Let's say a person daven slowly, he wants to daven very slowly on Rosh Hashanah, that he's going to be finished with his Tfilah Shemoneh Esrei before the Chazan gets to Kedusha. That's not going to help. After the Chazan finishes Kedusha, that's not going to help. You have to finish your Shemoneh Esrei Balachas quickly so that you'll be ready to listen to the whole Chazar Hashad from the beginning to the end. And if you're daven in the shul but they're daven too fast, so either one solution is daven in a different shul or abridge your Shemoneh Esrei. Leave out the Lakai and Sorosh and Nara. You got something else. You have to consult with your local Orthodox rabbi and find out what you should leave out in the Shemoneh Esrei. Otherwise the Rishonim say you will not be in fulfillment of this Takanas Atanoim, or possibly according to Rashi as in the Raisa, of listening to the Tkiyas, Al Seder HaBrachos, all the whole Chazaras Hashad relates to all of the people in the Tziva. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, Ahidah, this is already a Chumrah. He said that an insistence that everybody should stand with their feet together for Chazaras Hashad of Musaf, otherwise you're not Yetzir, that's already a Chumrah. Otherwise it's not considered Tkiyas, Al Seder HaBrachos. That's already a chumrah. You have to stand. There's already a chumrah. You have to stand. Nikra, the Gemara states that there she can sit. But we understand why such a chumrah makes sense. The Ramah says that the proper thing is always to stand for Chazaras Hashad. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, in fact, my father told me that when Rav Soloveitchik came from Europe to America, which was the first year that he delivered in the yeshiva on this topic, that Chazaras Hashad relates to everybody, and that's why it makes sense that everybody should stand all year long during Chazaras Hashad. He always used to tumult about that, and then he said, and especially more so on Rosh Hashanah, because if you don't pay attention to every word of the Chazar Hashat, then you're not going to get to the I'll say to our brothers, and again, if a person has to walk out for some purpose or another, should walk out in the middle of the piyutim. It's not an essential part, that's not the clue. Should walk out in the middle of the Malchus Menah Shartus or in the middle of the Chazar Hashat proper. If a person is tired, yeah, he's going to the piyutim. Nika Redding, you can sit during the Hazar Tashkent. Yes, yes.
So long as your observation said, especially on Rosh Hashanah, more so, otherwise it won't be a fulfillment of this takon of Kiyas al-Seir Abnoch.
Most of the long-lost Shilish
Manesh, a lot of places, they don't only blow in the middle of the time, they blow in the middle of Shilish Manesh, a lot of times there's a big problem. The person is behind. He didn't finish Malchus yet, and the Malchus is already blown. So if he's in the middle of, he didn't even begin Malchus yet, he's still in the middle of the first three brachas, then the Pashta says that he should not listen to the Tkiyas. Or let's say he's in the middle of Malchus, and the Baptikeh is going to blow Shofar. So the Shofar has a Shaykhus either to yet, and the Malchus is in the middle of Malchus, Nishkefel. But let's say he's still in the middle of Malchus, and the Baptikeh is ready blowing after the first. So the second set of Tkiyas have no Shaykhus with where he is. He's not yet, he's not even in the middle of the first. So the pastor says that he should not bother to stop and to listen to pay attention. It may even be a hefsek. He should just continue davening. It only makes sense to listen to the tkiyas of Seder HaBrachos in the middle of the Shtel Shmoneh Esrei if you're at least l'chatchila should be at the end. You should be at the conclusion of Malchus, the conclusion of Zechariah, the conclusion of Shavuot. Or chatch in the middle of those three brachos. But if you're not even holding the middle of those brachos, then the tkiyas of no shaykhus with what the person is doing. Soloveitchik also used to mention every so often in the drushes that he gave in Aseret Meitshuva that all the people asked him about is if it's too difficult to stand, the other people also are shouting, if it's too difficult to stand the whole time, so which are the more crucial parts of the davening that you have to stand? So this one has to stand. If a person davening the shachar to lose, nobody has to stand. Chazaras Hashat, Nikaradin, state the favorites and Nikmar, you don't have to stand. That's already a chumra that I'm not called to stand. Nikaradin, you don't have to. What about when the Yom Kodesh is open? Mm-hmm. So Soloveitchik always used to say over that the Achrayim, you don't have to stand. You only have to stand when the Sefer Torah is taken out and someone's walking with the Sefer Torah. But if the Sefer Torah is in the Yom Kodesh, the Taz points at it. Well, Achrayim basically go along with the Taz. Nikaradin, you're not mechuyev to stand. So why taka do we stand when they open up the Yom Kodesh and they say that the Yudim? Now, so Soloveitchik suggested that maybe the Piyutim are considered a Dovah Shabbik Dusha. Maybe that's why you have to stand. Not so much because of the Aron Kodesh being up, but if there's no Aron Kodesh. These Piyutim are okay, or is this? No, you've got to be, you don't participate in this Dovah Shabbik Dusha. The person has to go sometime. So rather than go doing the more crucial part, to go doing the part. Is this Miyake? Okay, in the summer they don't want to be much here for the people.
They want to give you kibbutim.
Okay.
They don't want to give you kibbutim.
The Mechaber writes a minig that from the Goyim, a very old minig, that at the conclusion of all of the tkiyas, you blow a trua gdailo. It's all made of kibbutim. No, no. Trua gdailo. The Goyim say a trua gdailo. What in the world is that? That's how all the guys say.
How many coins is
it? As long as he can.
More than nine.
Yeah, he just keeps on going until he goes out of breath. What is that based on? So they don't explain what it's based on. So I saw in the Sefer that they have some C.K. Frank, they have a lot of very interesting horrors by his grandson, who's now a big guy in the Mishalayim. He quotes there, this is not from the grandson, and then it's like, this is from C.K. Frank himself. He quotes a Tzipesa Frank quotes from Rabbi Yochum Perlo that he suggested that he thinks it's based on the pasuk in Sefer Yoshua that it says that they surrounded Yericho 7 days in a row and they were commanded to blow shofar every day after 7 days. Then it says the Farish on the seventh day, because Al has tradition of Shabbos, on the seventh day after they finished blowing shofar, they blew a Trua Gedayla and the walls came tumbling down. Another statement of pasuk. So the idea of the Trua Gedayla was as a symbolic representation of the fact that all of their prayers were answered. The Rebbeinu listened to prayers, and right away after the Trua Gedayla, the walls came tumbling down. So that's perhaps the reason for the Minhag HaGoyim that you blow a Trua Gedayla at the end of all of the tkiyas to show that we hope all of our prayers were accepted. That's the Minhag of the Mechaber that he quotes from the Goyim, the old Minhag that you blow Trua Gedayla. There are more dozens of tkiyas.
I don't know.
That's what they do. The Ramah does not disagree. The Ramah doesn't say anything, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes that that's not our name. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Ma'aril, we blow a tkiya. The last tkiya of the Mayakal is making it into tkiya. What is that based on? Bicep is nobody's mind. That